The fullness of what you did on that cross is way beyond us, Lord. It is impossible for us to have any kind of real awareness of what you did for us and for the people, your creation. We're grateful. We would like this night to really have open ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Father, you've released our brother to come up, and now we ask that you strengthen him. We ask that you empower him by your Spirit, that you invade through him every heart that is allowed to come together here this night. We're grateful, Father, and we are honored to have our brother with us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you for each heart. Open minds, open hearts, and an understanding spirit this night. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, young man, we'll put some lights on for you and we'll put you to the task. How's that? Let there be light.
Whoa.
Wow.
You're going to give us a countdown.
We can go the countdown for the second one.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1 next time.
We'll do the countdown for the second one. How's that?
All right. Okay. You know, it's interesting, especially seeing old friends here. They're still way back. You know, they don't tell me when I was over there this church. You see, you realize it's been 6 years since I was here. My gosh, no, I didn't. And as all of us grow older, we become somewhat introspective about the path that we've walked. What have we gained out of it? What marks that we've had progress with our relationship with God? I mean, if we've spent 10 years, you know, 15 years walking with the Lord, obviously we should be a different creature than we were 15 years ago. And since I had 8 months, really, to ponder on that through spending time with the Lord after the transplant, I found out some great things and some awful things for me. Now, remember, I speak only from my perspective. Every one of us has a different perspective, a different plan. What he has for you, he won't have for me. Maybe very similar, but I still believe that all of our experiences, since they're rooted and grounded in him, have a common thread of truth that we can feed off of for each other. Mm-hmm. And so as I began to ask God, okay, this just doesn't make any sense to me, Lord. I mean, I waited all this time. I get a liver transplant, and then it comes with pancreatitis, and then a hematoma. They got to cut me open again and put a thing on me to heal up. Then, you know, it just goes on and on. And then all of a sudden, my wife has diagnosed with breast cancer, and, you know, it goes on and on. And it's like after a period of time, you know, I'm through asking those questions like, did I miss you, God, or anything like that? Because, you know, I've always realized that if God wants me someplace, I'm not going to fight him. I'll go wherever he says. But you can't look at something like that and say, well, where have I progressed? You know, I seem to be a lot worse off now than I was 15 years ago from the natural perspective. So it really gave me time to mellow and to quiet the flesh. Because the flesh was what was killing me. And God began to reveal spots in me that I would have told you, no way there, that, you know, no way do I have that problem, no way do I have that issue, no way do I have that. Well, as far as my transplant and things like that, or your tribulations or whatever it is, the only way that I was given insight to that was when only eyes that I had were spiritual eyes. Because to look in the physical, you kill yourself. I mean, it's like, you know, you've gone as far as all natural hope is gone. I mean, I didn't share much of this, but I almost died at Christmas because of another thing that happened with the. So, I began to realize that I'm seeing things about myself now that I never saw before. And as is the case for me, I always realize that if God's showing it to me, it's not just for me, it is to share.
Yeah.
It is to do my part to share that so that, you know, we can obtain in cooperation with God instead of Him having to do everything that He had to do with me, to you, or to those young Christians. Because we're in a place where I do believe there's a quick work available. But that quick work will only be available when we show them. So, what was it I saw? The first thing I saw was the religion that was in me. I had agendas, you know, whether it was building a third day fellowship or trying to build a church or trying to do this or trying to do that. All these things were agenda, and God was showing me where I was mixing my soulish desires with His spiritual mandate. And as such, it was contaminated. And I wouldn't have, I'd never known it because I felt like I was walking in the mandate that was given. But God's greatest mandate is that I be transformed into His image. And I told Him, do whatever necessary. Were you all there that time at the conference? I raised my hand and I said, Lord, kill me. You know, if that's the only way into glory, kill me. He's got a long memory too. So I said, okay, Lord, how did these things end up there? As much time as I've spent in prayer, as much time as I've spent in the Word, as much time as I've spent looking for these things so that I could have that closer relationship. And that's when I found out that we have to walk in the light. But the walking in the light isn't meaning that we've got a flashlight. Walking in the light means we walk transparently as He is in the light. We walk with the understanding that He has the freedom to open up our own, I don't want to say Pandora's box, but I will, open up those things that we may never know were there and see them for ourselves so that they can be dealt with. If you've read my book, you know that I believe that one of the things that He's going to do is that He is going to reveal the spots so that we would see them, so that He can devour them through flaming fire.
Amen.
So I said, okay, so but there's a foundation here. There's a foundation here. I love the people of finished work who said, you know, it's just believe. Well, I just believe, but here were those things I couldn't deny. And I said, so how do I walk transparently? And that's when the Lord just opened my heart, opened my mind to anything that I try to protect, anything that I try to walk in that's of my agenda is darkness. And those things hide there. So you can have a great religious mandate, and all you've done is provided a wonderful atmosphere for these things to rise up in you. And the sad thing is, you got to break then that religious stronghold before you'll even get to see what it is that has risen up in there. So I made a mandate with God that, okay, I'll walk. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'll walk in total clarity with you. And then he began to take me to the all the scriptures that, you know, the sea of glass and the other things. And what he showed me is that as soon as, let's say, for example, that as I got busy and fervent with speaking something, I began to exaggerate. And that's just the beginning of stepping into the wrong direction. Or let's say that I go to tell somebody something, but I don't tell them everything, or that I tell them something that's wrong, or that I really don't want you to see that I've been ill or anything like that, because that would make me look weak, you know. And who wants to listen to somebody that is weaker than they are? It's like, if that's the best you can do, then. So all those things that want to press in on us, that we want to protect, which is, like I said, our pride, our the smallest of things. If you'll take those, or told me, if I'll take those, and then confess them right away, reveal them right away, share them with the brethren right away, they have then, you've brought them to the light, they have no place to grow. Because nothing of the enemy, nothing of soul, can prosper in the light of Christ. And this is just I'm giving you an introduction here. I'm trying to share with you that now I come to a point where, okay, that's great. I'm going to do that. And sure enough, it didn't take long to where those things didn't hurt. Those things didn't make a difference. I don't mind if you see me as weak. I don't mind if if I have to say, oh, well, what I just said really wasn't true. It was this. I all of a sudden, it just didn't mind, because what was being generated, every time I did that, that opened the door for God's glory to replace the darkness. The spots fall away, and God's glory comes in. And so now I'm thinking, okay, that's great, but how, I'd find myself again, we only can do what we know. We do what we know. So it didn't take long to where I was kind of trying to take the same, take this revelation and apply it in the same way that I've applied everything else. God said, you can't do that either. And that's where He's taught me how to live. And I've preached this before, but now I have to live it. Live in the now. I mean, honestly, physically, I have no promise of tomorrow. Except for Him. And if I get out of today, out of the now, I lose Him in the process. But if I stay in the now, if I get offended at somebody, just come to myself and see what it was that got offended. So He began to have me walk in clarity. He had me begin to walk in the now. And finally, what He showed me was the most difficult of all. And that is that I had to really begin to prefer my brethren above myself. You know, this is all Him. Prefer my brethren above myself. That happens not because we say, I want to love that person more, and God just downloads love. The word prefer just means to give our preference to that person instead of us. So the more you are about yourself, the less you are about others. But the more you're about others, the more you're about Him. Because in the corporate environment of the Lord, you know, Christ in you, that's the place where the real transforming work is done. So now I have three principles that I've boiled it all down to. Not everything. I mean, I still press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and let nothing else get in the way. But as far as my daily walk, I live in the now. If God reveals it, shows me any place that I've either tried to strengthen myself or hide things or manipulate things or something, He now shows it immediately, and my job is to let it go into the fire And that fire is the burning of self, which means the burning of the spots. So you, that happens when we share our, you know, these are familiar scriptures with us, aren't they? Share your, you know, our sins one with another. You know, walk in the light as He's in the light. He is the I Am. And for the first time in the 15 years since I've been walking in the kingdom, I now know what it means for me to walk in the kingdom. It means walking in a different realm than self. So I don't know what I'm doing next week. And, you know, it's like the first time when you called me about coming up here, I was not physically able to come. So I kind of said, put you off a little bit. And then the next time the Lord said, you go. But I wasn't physically able. But at that moment, God was promising me that He was going to work it out. Now, before I get into the teaching, the last thing that I want, I hope that you can hear this, is that we've got to get serious with God. We got to get serious. We got to take the words that He's given us and let them mean the fullness of what they mean. For example, you know, obviously, if you're anxious, what is that?
Fear.
It's unbelief.
Unbelief and fear.
It's unbelief. You know, instead of consoling somebody because they're, you know, anxious or worried or something, we should be instead bringing them into the light of the supplier of all of our needs. Bring them into that place where He says that, you know, it all things work together for good. And if you can't believe that to the point that it overcomes anxiety, overcomes offenses, I haven't tried to correct an offense in anybody in a couple years, because I realize that every offense that's out there is an offense. It's God's working to show me something in me that He wants to deal with. Regardless of the person and how wrong they are or whatever, that's not my job. My job is to realize that everything is working together for me. And you are to hear the same thing. So all of our situations, every tribulation, every trial, everything that in some cases we accept, in other cases we reject, but it doesn't matter, because all of them are to bring us to the place of the fullness of God. All of them. Every one. There's no exception. So I know that, you know, people will definitely argue that when it comes to the faith movement and other things, but if there's just no other answer. If we can't do that, we can't walk in peace and joy. We can't be content in all situations. That's not a mark set up there to be so high we go, oh boy, you know, someday in the by and by I'll be able to do that. No, He lays that out because we're going to be able to walk in that. Those that are after the flesh do mind the things of flesh. Another way to say it, those that are after the carnal do mind the things of the carnal. Those that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Be content in all things. All things work together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. This is the real gospel. This is foundational. If we don't understand that He looks at our anxieties and our whinings and things with compassion, but He really wants us to move on. He wants us to trust Him. I mean, think about it. You know, if your kids don't trust you, you see that as, you know, something wrong in the relationship. Same thing with the Lord. There is a breakdown in the relationship when we can't trust. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It just actually means that more than likely we're in for another really good round with him where he'll make the point even better. It's funny. Not funny, but I'll tell you this story. My son-in-law, again, like I said, I'm transparent. I don't try to hide anything. We let God deal with it. But my son-in-law left my daughter about a month ago. They actually lived in the apartment down at the bottom of our house. And before he left her, he said, you know, don't you believe that you can have, you know, two different paths and stuff like that? I said, this is what I believe. That she saved herself, never even dated, until God sent her somebody. You're who he sent. There's a covenant here. You break this covenant, and God will restore it. He kind of looked at me strange. I said, he'll find a way. Well, last week, on his way to work, his motorcycle hit the side of a car pulling out, and now he's back with my daughter, but he can't, he can't put any weight on his leg for like 8 weeks, and I mean, he is like just isolated, just the two of them together. And just like I told him, I said, see, this is God. This is why we don't have to worry about him working things out. We may not like the way he worked it out. I sure don't like the way that he worked it out with me. But I like that he worked it out. And if this was necessary for me to come to that next level where I can just enjoy him, not fret over, you know, whatever doctors say or whatever anybody, you know, whatever situation, money or otherwise, then that's well worth it. Well worth it. And see, that to me is the manifestation of the sons of God. It got to come through tribulation. You were counted worthy to suffer. That I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. If by being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the out resurrection. But now this is something I shared this morning. I want to share with everybody else. You'll get real confused if you continue once you come to this place, and anybody wants to share anything on this, you let me know because I want to know. But what the Lord's showed me is that the word is written for babes and for the elect, not. That that's written for the babes isn't written for the elect, and vice versa. Just like Paul said, I have many things to tell you, but you being carnal cannot receive it. So as we begin to look at maturing in our relationship with him, we come to that place in Philippians where Paul says, look, I want the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be made conformable to his death because I want this out resurrection. Now, he later calls that, in a couple verses, that out resurrection, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But what does he say in between? He said, not as if I've yet attained, but this one thing I do. I now forget all that's behind. What does he mean by that? It doesn't mean that he forgets his life or that he finally accepts forgiveness for his sins or anything. He's saying, I forget all that's behind. In other words, all the things, the truths that I've had to bring me to this point to maturity are no longer where I operate. Because now he's given me the ultimate operation. I judge everything by whether or not I'm pressing, reaching out to the mark of God in Christ Jesus. That now sums up all the Gospels, all the truth into one thing. Doesn't mean that we all act the same. It just means now, if you have a deliverance ministry or whatever, it's all related to that. Is it aiming you and the people around you to that place where we obtain that high calling? And see, by having that kind of an understanding, it saves us from we get to a certain place, we walk so long, we hadn't seen something. So what do? We think maybe we've missed something, so we go back into the Word, and we start feeding on the bottle again. You know? We start going back and taking the things that already matured us, and we start sucking on those again, thinking that maybe, I mean, I could, and I think you would agree with me, I could bring, every night, I could bring a different speaker in here who had a different mandate, and it would make you feel guilty. I could bring somebody in here that says that they have to, the secret to a good relationship is praying the Word. And they give all the scriptures that, you know, unless you really know the Word and can pray the Word, etc., you go, oh, yeah. Somebody else that comes in here that, look, if you're not spending at least 3 or 4 hours in prayer every day, then how could, you know, on and on and on. And that gets, have you not ever been on that? I have. You know, and sometimes I go, I shake my head. I said, now hold it. Last week I believed this. Now I see this is the truth. And God has brought me full circle to say, all of those just are to take us to the place. And that's why he has little things in there like, you know, like speaking in order and all these little, I hate to say it, the baby steps to get the church going and to get people where they can believe that a God is, he is God, and that he does have the a power to deliver. And, I mean, come on, face it, you know. Babes in Christ, they get spoiled rotten. I mean, you know, they ask and boom. Matter of fact, I told somebody one time, if you really want a prayer answered, find a newbie and ask him to pray for you. Because it's like God's got to, at that in that first part of the relationship, to show you he's God. And we don't need that anymore. We know he's God. So, anyway, that's kind of my introduction. Anybody want to share anything? Ask question? Does it help anybody? It helped me.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but the fact that I walk in peace every day, even though I may have pain all day long, or even though circumstances may be swirling around me, they do not attach to me any longer. Because it is at the very heart that I'm now connected with the belief that this is his life. This is his life. My life's over. This is his life. And I will surrender to whatever and be content that I'm getting to live his life with him. So, where does that bring us? The reason I wanted to bring it up is because I think I'm not alone. I think many of you have had severe tribulations, very difficult times. And I just want to say to you that let them have their way. Because God's trying to do a quick work to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God, and it can't happen in vessels that operate in unbelief. You can't, on one hand, be asking God that you want to display the glory of God, and at the same time, you're really kind of worried whether or not you're going to make your house payment, or whether or not that doctor report is whatever. You start showing the same anxiety to the world that they have in those same situations, you know? The father looks down and is like, how can I take this person and begin to manifest my glory when their glory is all they're manifesting? So I believe that at this hour, God is working in many of your lives to try to do a quick work. And the biggest scripture that I would have is that scripture that women received their loved ones back to life, paraphrasing, but others being tortured, refused deliverance, across the board, refused deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Now, If I hear that in the fullness, that scripture in the fullness, it literally is saying that God, if we're still that immature, He will, you pray hard enough and He'll come through for you, even if that's not what He has for you, because of His love and the foundation that is established there. But if you'll just let Him, you know, let Him have His way. You got a situation where one of your children just died or something. You know that you got the power to resurrect them, but nothing initiating to do that. You know, all you're going to do is find out, just like they did in the Old Testament, that sometimes it's better to let the dead be dead instead of dealing with a king that wants to that changes everybody's life. So, I think that we now have to look at what our role is. What is our role? I mean, it's not difficult to see the evil that's manifesting in the world. It's not even difficult to see it escalating day by day on a level that we've never seen before. But what about seeing ourselves as the solution? What about recognizing that we have a destiny to die? That we have a destiny to let go and let God come forth and shine His light in such a way that, as He says in the wheat and the tares, that He can then remove the unrighteous. We can't do it, but He will do it. Anybody agree, disagree? You are people of destiny. You are the hope of the world, because our Father has decided the way that He's going to interact with this world is through His children. He's not interacting with this world outside of that. People talk about a providential God. Well, you know, He can, and He can do anything through governments and stuff, but when it comes to people, when it comes to personal situations, He only works. So that's why it is important for us to be preferring our brothers and sisters, because that's where the real transforming power is at. I wrote this book in 2000. I actually wrote it before then. The Seven Thunders of God. And I'll stand by it now as I did. It's funny, 11 years ago. I mean, I little tweaks here and there, but the truth of it is still the truth. And it was designed then as the same design now, and it's to awaken a people to who they are. Because that same faith I'm talking about, that will keep you from stress and strife, is also the same faith that lets you apprehend His faith, lets you begin to operate from the throne room. But it's faith that unlocks that. But see, as long as it's like the Holy Spirit has this way of telling you, you're not really eligible for that yet, because you're still dealing with some rudiments that have to be dealt with. You're still worrying over this and worrying over that. You know, can I entrust you with the power of the throne room when you're asking to be delivered every time and fretting when you're not? So it's our choice. It literally is our choice. And this is where, you know, I do agree with many that talk about it. Just believe. We have to come to that. But I found that we won't believe without proof. And that's why we need to allow God to start working miracles. But if you don't put yourself in a position where He is the deliverer all the time, where He is the supplication, where He is it. I mean, since I've been here, and it happens all the time, many people have asked me about, you know, I did this, and I'm wondering if I missed God on that, or what do you think I should do here? And and things like that. And really, we've got to get beyond those questions, because those are not ours to answer. God will move us through into His perfect will if we'll just get our own desires out of the way. And if you sit there for a moment and in prayer, go before the Lord and say, show me what the motivation is here. Is this you or is this me? He'll show you every time. He'll show you every time. And I got to tell you that I think we're this close, though. I really do. We've walked it. We know it. Everything I said tonight, you've heard the scriptures. You know what I'm saying is true. And I believe that in the same way that He's done a quick work in me through one direction, He can do the same and is doing the same work through others. And we need to encourage each other as these works happen. See, I don't know how much it does encourage you, but I hope that it encourages you that we could go through the worst of situations and circumstances, and they, you know, I'm talking from finances to health, and it not have any yoke on us, because Jesus now stands in the forefront of our life. We prefer Him above anything else that this world has to offer. But we have to read the road signs. Like I said, if you're fretting, if you're worrying, if you're getting offended, if you're in doubt and confusion, all of these things mean that there's a hiccup in your relationship with the Lord. And most of the time, it's unbelief. And we have to own up to it. If you don't own up to it, how can He fix it?
It goes back to recognizing when we see ourselves and give up the ability to clean up ourselves, because when you get to a certain level of trying, you finally wear yourself down.
That's right.
And once you've finally gotten to the bottom and you've tried every formula in the book, and you get there and you say, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I just can't. And the minute you humble yourself and you submit to Him, there's been cases in my life where, yes, there was confession to a friend that I could trust. And we prayed together.
It'd be better to confess to those you can't trust.
Pardon?
It'd be better to confess to those you can't trust.
I did that too.
However, because then it gets around and it'll really kill you that way. Let it have its full work. You know?
And I've been both. However, it's a little more comfortable to the soul.
Oh, yeah.
When it's someone you can trust that is going to be
faithful to... loving your family versus your enemies.
Yeah, to faithful to support you. Because just because you said a prayer doesn't mean that you may not need more prayer. And if it's someone that has an ulterior motive, you're going to be unable to go back. In most cases, you're going to be wounded. You're not going to be able to confront another level. And so if it is someone that you have learned that you can trust, you will be able to go back. You'll be able to go seconds and thirds, whatever you need. But at that point where you have Him in control of what's ever's hurting, He begins to manifest His abilities so that you can see His work. That gives you the courage to keep on going.
I mean, the sum total of all that I've said is you've got to become weak.
Amen.
I mean, all the things that you're using to prop up your life, your safety nets, your whatever, are denying the power of God to work in your life. He doesn't ask you to do anything but to surrender and humble yourself, which means that the humility is not an action, it's a attitude in which I know my place. You know, I know that I'm dead. I don't have a ministry. I have a calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I don't have ministries. I'm not, I can be an, if God wants to manifest through me as an apostle, a prophet, then fine. You know, he'll do that. I don't even have to work it up. I don't have to get back in the back room and, you know, get it all worked up and run out here and slap everybody's head. And that's what makes this joyous, folks. That's just what, I mean, it, can you imagine that someone comes up to you and says, look, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you'll come in last, we'll make you the winner. Now, how easy is that, you know? And that's what he's telling us, you know, if we'll come in our own minds. I think less of my abilities now than I've ever thought. As a matter of fact, I realize that every ability that I thought I had was in reality a soulish expression of my own strength. So, God says, you know, can't work through that. It's got to be me. That's why this, the manifestation of the sons of God is the Son of God being manifest in a people. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The manifestation will be so real that they will see Jesus and not see us. So it's got to be so dynamic and so real that the world itself, in its, all of its unbelief, will recognize that Christ is walking the earth again, preparing a way for himself. So, the only way that works is if he's doing it. He allowed us 2,000 years to try out our own strength. And... Could you speak up? I have hard hearing.
Right on TV talking about humility. Uh-huh. And he says, humility is not to make yourself lower, but to lower yourself.
Well, I like that. And it's a simple task. Prefer your brother.
Yep. Prefer the other.
Just prefer your brother. I was so terrible at that. Because I was a businessman, and to me, relationships were all about, you know, like chess. And it took quite a while before God began to open the value and let me see the value in others. And once you see that value, it becomes a, just like he said, it becomes that place where you sell all that you have to get it. So when you begin to see Christ in others, you really then begin to have not only just an appreciation and love for them, but a real desire to dig out that Christ, to let it strengthen you, to let him strengthen you through them. Which can only happen is you strengthen them. I mean, the scripture is clear. Let every joint supplieth. Until what? The whole can edify itself in love. So we're not going to see this manifestation until each one of us finally decide we're going to give that part of Christ to each other. We're going to link up. Where we link up is not based on walls. It's not based on doctrine, it's based on Christ. Which I know all of you know. This isn't new stuff. But it is new enough for me that for the first time in my life I feel a real pressing of the Lord. A real pressing of the Lord to share this. And in 1996 he said that in the year, I gotta say that he said this to me. I don't take it beyond what I say, but he said in 2012 that I will begin to see the manifestation of the sons of God. That may mean that my eyes open up to something. I don't know, but it's enough that was before I heard anything about my encounters or any of that other stuff. And I was just wondering last year. I said, "Wow, if this is still true, you know, if this is what I think it is, then things have got to get moving." Well. Gosh, look what happened. I mean, I was watching Fox News before I came over here. Every single country is in turmoil. And there's nothing in the natural that's going to stop that. going to be a people that love not their life to death, that can stand before these people, and just like Paul did, and said, you know, I come to share that unknown God. Because he is. He's unknown to them. Anybody else got something to share? To ask?
There was a vision that was given just a couple of days ago. And the vision was a group of children. And they all had a t-shirt on it. Every t-shirt had a different country on it. And they were playing Ring Around the Rosie. But then they all fell down. And so my sister back there had that vision, and I went home with it, and I said, Lord, you are so awesome, because you're making it, you know, just what is happening. You're watching it happen, and it's just, you know, they're playing, they're doing what they know, but the end result, ashes, ashes, fall down.
That's right. All of this, you know, there's so many ways that God's given us to see it. So, because some people see it better from one direction or another. But, you know, what I'm talking about is the New Jerusalem, is the bride, mm-hmm. is the first fruit company, is the overcomer. Yep. They're all the same people.
Right.
But they are being seen in a different way, in the same way that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's also the Lamb of God. And he's a counselor. He's our apostle. And since he's manifesting in us, we will be, you know, the bride. We will be the temple of God on earth.
Amen.
All of those things will. So, if it helps you, which it kind of does me, I go over like with the bride, and I see that he is already covenant that he will present to himself. He will present to himself a bride without spot or blemish. So, and then he says, that temple that has fallen down, he will rebuild it. He will restore it. And that's what the New Jerusalem is all about. Is a people that come, that truly become a habitation, not just for God personally, but they become the way that the world can truly interact with God. Because he said that, he says, behold, the temple of God is with men, that they may seek after him.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? So, I mean, there's so much headed for us that I just want us to get beyond ourselves.
And that's the trigger.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, just try not to fix your life. Just try not to save yourself.
Amen.
I mean, I have never got, the farther you walk in this level, the more it manifests. That's just the way it is. To the point that in 1996, when I sold my companies, which one of them was an international software company and blah, 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 we ended up giving all the money away. We've never, and that's been since 96, we have never been in want or need. And that, do you realize how many miracles it took for God from 1996 to now to make sure that we got a motorhome paid for, we've got, you know, that we use for the broadcast, the only thing we owe is some on our home. But we've traveled through Europe, we've done all of these things, but always because we were led of God to do them. Like, y'all have heard this, bear with me, but the very first time God wanted to teach me this lesson, after I'd given away the money, and we used to go skiing all over, you know, because I was pretty wealthy at that point. So we go skiing, and the first thing that Gene asked me, are we going to go skiing this year? Because we gave away all the money, you know? And so I prayed, and the Lord said, you're going skiing. So, but you asked Gina where to go. So I said, Gina, where are we going? She said, I don't know. I just hear Jackson Hole. She had never, didn't even know where it was at. Make a long story short, we went out thinking, you know, thank you, Lord, you've given us a vacation. Well, after we stayed in a motel where there was a Jewish fellow that ran it, and after we skied the first day, that night, he said, I'm going to a Bible study to learn about Jesus, and I guess you're a Christian. Would you like to come? That turned into a 30-day revival, in which it turned all of Jackson Hole upside down. I mean, just, it was phenomenal. And needless to say, we didn't get a chance to ski anymore because every day then was spent getting ready, finding a bigger place to hold the meetings. And Gina had to even fly back and leave me. But that's how he showed me that his ways are not my ways. And don't predetermine it. You know, I could have said so easily to that guy, no, I have enough services at home and stuff like that, and I'm really out here with the family and need to rest up for tomorrow. But you can't deny that God's in it when a Jewish fellow invites you to go learn about Jesus. I mean, it was wonderful. And these were all extremely wealthy people. I didn't know that. As a matter of fact, the house that we met in first was an $8 million home where you could see the Grand Tetons out their room. Now, these were people that been at the Presbyterian or the Lutheran Church or stuff. Eight couples. And they asked me if I had anything I wanted to share. And I thought, oh boy. But God flipped me on this because he wouldn't give me anything to say. He said, I want you to go take each one of their hands, to look in their eyes, let them see me, and let them see the love of God. Let them really, for the first time, see the love of God. So, well, I've never done that before, but I'll do that. And they, I mean, you know, at first it was, okay. And I'd start to pray, and I'd have them look me in the eye, and then, you know, tears, and then all of a sudden, boom, flop, they're on the ground. They didn't even know what was going on. That had never happened. And I just praised God. I said, God, you know, I would have easily had the expectation that since these were Presbyterians and stuff, that basically I could just share a good word about God and the love of Christ. But instead, I knew that he wanted to do this. Well, they called up all their other friends and said we had to move to another place the next day. And it really took off. Got all the way up to where we had well over 100, 150 people. And it was going great. And then the local pastors decided to have a meeting. And that was the end of the revival.
No jealousy.
Well, they always hid behind the fact that, I mean, they, from their perspective, here's an unknown God coming in to their very richest neighborhood. I'm talking $8 to $15 million homes and all this, and he's still hanging around. So they thought I was there to set up a church and take their rich sheep from them. See, that's what happens when you live in the natural under the guise of the spiritual. I mean, you make stupid, you know, comments like that. None of them came to me. I wanted to turn it over. I mean, 30 days, I was ready to go home. You know, I wanted to turn it over to somebody, but since it wasn't grown there, they didn't think I could bring anything that they didn't already have. Where did I get off on that tangent? Who else got something to share? I mean, I've got so much that I want to share, but I realize that every joint has its part. And I'm not only on a mission to share, I'm out here as a picker. You know what that... Anybody watch that show? You know, where the guy goes and finds, they find little treasures and...
I got one over there.
Are you a picker?
No, he's a giver.
Oh. But that's
nice
what...
Speaking.
I mean, the idea behind a picker is they could see value where no one else can. I mean, a bicycle with no tire and all kinds, it just looked like a piece of junk. They go, oh, yeah, well, that's Jesus and us, you know. What a way that he opens our eyes to see the treasure, you know. And so I know that you each one have treasures in you, and I'm always looking to pick some up myself.
I wanted to wait till he was done. I don't want to be totally rude.
You can't be rude. I remember playing golf. And
yeah, that's now an 18-hole golf course.
You were the only one that saw my need to play golf, and you responded to it in love.
I was surprised you had golf clubs with you.
I don't anymore. I mean, I can't even swing a club, but that was fun.
What you brought forth has shown me that I have made basically some serious errors in my walk. We would not be now where we are had I recognized what was happening 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I'm like, oh, boy, have I thought I was doing right. The gist of it, I asked her permission to speak this. We, most of you know, some of you don't know, that I have been unemployed now since December 2nd. Prior to that, about, what was it, a year, Kim, we came in here, Claude was, you and Claude were doing the communion. Mary and I got here late. Now, we've been struggling with finances. It was never that money was the issue. It's just that every time we'd almost get caught up, something would hit. Yeah. It would suck out just a little bit more and a little bit more each time, to where recovery was getting harder and harder and harder. So I show up. Mary shows up. We go up. We go get the communion. We're ready to leave, and Claude, God bless him, says, wait. Looks at me and says, the Lord says, I am restoring your finances. Now, you had said this morning that he always gives a picture. So Mary and I took that and said, great. Word is given, finances spiral down.
Sounds right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, Lord, and Kim will testify to this, I had a few bouts in the flesh, but I said, I know it's Claude knew nothing about our situation. Okay. At that point, he didn't have the fullness of what was going on in our lives. And I said, I'm holding on to that nugget. And I'm holding on. And I'm holding on. I'm thanking him. I'm praising him. I'm glorifying. And my finances are spiraling down. Finally, I said, Lord, we're in a very bad position here. I am working. I need a vehicle to work. I am starting to fall behind on my credit card payments, on my car payments, and I said, there's plenty of money, but every time I go to do something, it gets sucked out from under me. So I go to Kim, I said, we are desperate here. And I told him, I said, I need prayer, and I need some answers. So what came to me was, is restore the car first. With a car, you can get a job. You can move. Lord says to me 6 months later, approximately, I want you to leave your job. I'm in the car, I'm like, tilt. I'm a month behind on the car payment. Credit card's behind, I'm behind on the house. And you want me to quit my job? I'll quit as soon as you give me something else. Because I am not going to move without something else. Long story short of it, December 2nd, still in that mindset, I'm fired, They came and got the car, and we have until September to make up all the back payments, or we're foreclosed on. And the first thing I heard was from Satan was, enjoy drowning. Your testimony's now down the toilet. And I'm sitting here saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I will walk where you would have me to walk. That is why I'm still not employed, because I refuse to take anything that comes, the first thing that comes along, I just grab it and go, because I will provide. And the end result of this has been, like right now, I can hear it. You are now being judged. So be it. Judge me if you want. I don't care. But what you spoke to me, had I listened 2 years ago to what was going on, I would not be where I'm at now. And for that, I have to apologize to my wife for it, because I missed it. But now, like I told her, whatever comes, comes. I could care less at this point, because you can't get any worse off than you are now.
So now your finances are restored. Restored means in the way God put them. They're in their right place now. He's above your finances.
There is no finances unless he's there.
That's it. Would you want me to respond to what you said, or just... were you just sharing that as a testimony?
I was sharing it. If you want to respond to it, if you feel led of God, that's your business. If you don't want to, that's fine too. But I knew that something you said, did anyone have anything to say? I was sitting here struggling with speaking it because people would judge me. But, and again, as you said, if you're living transparent, if I'm hiding this,
right,
it's going to come out in the wash anyways. Usually at the most inopportune time.
But you have provided a good entree for me to speak, and
feel free.
And it's a lesson for all of us. You got a word. Your mind set the goal in place. Your spirit was already, you know, holding on to that image that you got. Well, see, with all that happens, you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control. The Lord has no place to get in there, because now you've already laid out the pathway. This process means that if you got, and I really caution you about words and stuff like that, don't jump on words all the time. I mean, if you get a good word, and it's supposed to be edifying, not directional. Paul, I think, had the best response to words I've ever seen in the New Testament. What? He said, I would be bound? He said, bound? I'm ready to die. It's my destiny to go to Rome. And you're warning me about Rome? I get lots of words, and it does bring up a flag, and I'll keep an eye on that. And
yeah.
But there's lots of things that flow. There's a flow.
Yeah.
There's a flow, and you get in the flow, and it will, if you're not right here on where it's going, you'll get right personally, because
yeah,
you'll just not fight him, and you'll go. So the way that works is you can't have any expectations. That sounds like it's tough to do, and it is at first,
mm-hmm,
but it is available to be done if you live in the now. See, you had it all, the scenario of events, and you were looking into the future, what if we don't make it, and all that. See, all of that is unbelief and negative faith working against you, you know, working against you. What I do now when those things try to press in is I just praise him and begin to just pray in the spirit and thank him for whatever he's got going and stay now concentrating on him. And it always works out. Not the way I planned. But it always works out.
Amen.
I mean, over the last 5 years, we have probably found $50,000 or $60,000 in our account that has no trail, not a deposit, nothing. Sometimes $3,000. Gina's way of dealing with it now is that she lets it sit for 2 months, and if it's still there, then she spends it. But it's because I am really ready, just like you're saying, I'm hearing good things here. I'm really ready to go over the edge. If God's able to let me go over the edge to the point that what everyone sees is, well, I don't want to put it that way. Let me back up off of that. That would be right to say. But what I've now come to realize is that thank you, Lord. You just gave me the scripture that says it. Jeremiah chapter 17, if you can. Matter of fact, it says it's so much better than me. It's okay. Here we go. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in mankind, or flesh, or personal ability, and maketh flesh his arm, his strength. In other words, you're going to make it happen. You know, you're going to work it out. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see that if you're going to make it, if you're going to do this, then the very essence of the connection of relationship begins to break. Doesn't that happen? I mean, when you find yourself getting wrapped up in a ugly situation with finances or with health or whatever, and you're just, you know, you're going here, you're going there, don't you feel that alienation? I mean, it's kind of like when you finally realize and you stop and you get back before the Lord. I mean, it's like, it's a fresh drink. And he says here in verse 6, he says, for he, now this is why his heart, it departs from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath, which is a plant in the desert. Plants don't do very well in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, not in heaven. Before I get unto the blessed. What happens is with flesh, we put on blinders. Because we figured it out. You know, we know what he's going to do, or we know what we expect out of this. So there it is. We're looking. Well, all of a sudden, God drops in over here. We do not see when the good comes. Why? Because we're looking at what we've predetermined, the pathway for the good. Well, you know, who would have figured that he dropped money in my account? Who would figure that, you know, I mean, you just go on and on. You've got to be open to God's sovereignty. Now, this is the blessed part. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, still in the desert though, by the way,
yeah,
and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat, there you go, doesn't even recognize tribulation, but her leaves shall always be green, and she shall and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, here is this tree in the desert, and it's doing okay, but it's in the desert. Well, what you don't see is that its root has found an unseen source, and it's drawing from that source. That's what we have to do. If we draw from the resources that are around us, then we're like that plant that's, you know, yeah, maybe you can give it a drink of water, but it won't always be healthy. You know, sooner or later, your plans will not always work out. But what we want is to just once and for all have it done with. He is our supplication. He is our watering source. And we don't even have to worry. Now, I'm not there, but you know, that's my aim, is to get to the place that you just don't even see. And I've had glimpses of it. You just don't even see when evil comes. Gina better than me. Gina is not, in the same way I'm not affected by finances. You could tell me that we owe, and it happens all the time, because we have a handicap ministry and all of a sudden we owe $10,000 and we have no way of knowing how we're going to pay for it or something like that. You know, I have complete faith that God does it. Doesn't even give me a blank. I don't go to prayer over it. He's already given me the answer. And he always takes care of it. However, Gina, on the other hand, has that same kind of faith for the things of life. For example, she hasn't complained one time. She's had thyroid cancer twice, where she's actually had to have the thing taken off. She's had the breast cancer. She's raising our grandson too. And yet, she has complete faith that it's all going to work out. She's just got to that place that her relationship with the Father, you can't get in between it. It just is. And she chastens me, you know, when I stay on the couch and pout, you know. I didn't say I had arrived. I didn't hear that. I have my bouts like anybody else. Just like Paul said, not as if I've yet obtained or become perfect at this one thing I do. Well, that's it. I'm pressing toward that mark. I know what needs to happen. And that is, he's got to be the life that I live. So, close down all scenarios. Have no thought of any possibility of foreclosure, whatever. And if it does go to foreclosure, I hate to say it, but God did it. Now, trust him, and there'll be, just like Job, there'll be something good that comes from it. See, that's the problem. We put God in a box. There's no way God's going to let, you know, somebody go through bankruptcy. Why? I didn't see that. Or there's no way that God's going to let you get sick. You know, and when you do these boxes like that, it really gets hard on your doctrine, because then you're trying to live surrendered, but you're always being brought right into a place that's not of God. So, in your mind, so you have to kind of figure out where you went wrong, where you missed it. You didn't miss it. You can't miss it. You can reject it, but you can't miss it, because thank God for you and me that he is the God of our calamity as well. Amen. You know, whatever gets skipped over on this round catches up on the next round. So we have no need to worry about tomorrow. He says that. As a matter of fact, he says it in such a way that you almost get shivers from it. He said, let tomorrow worry about itself somebody help me. For therein is the evil thereof. Yeah. In other words, just worrying about the future draws all sorts of evils into your life. And think about it. You run those scenarios, and since they've come into your mind, and they've been given vision in your mind, there are a spiritual reality in your life that now has to be dealt with. Whether it's real or not, it is real enough that spiritually...
It's yours then.
Yeah. Gina's always, you know, she hates it when I say, I got a cold. You don't have a cold. You know, she doesn't want me to confess. Well, I think that's kind of silly. So we don't see things eye to eye, but yet we support each other very, very well. and, you know, where she lacks. But see, whether you're married or not, God has somebody for you to take that role. It's not good that a man be alone, or woman. I mean, so for those of you that are not married or have lost your husband, ask God and begin to find out who, because you need somebody. Because if you could do it yourself, it'd already be done. Like Gina, you know, would tell me in the midst of pain when they'd ask you, you know, they ask you those pain scales. What's your pain between 1 and 10? 11. And she would say, "Man, it's going to be fine. God brought you here, and He's going to deal with it." I said, "Meanwhile, do they have any morphine?" I'm sorry. But you know, you can have fun like that. You don't have to worry about religious barriers when you have that kind of a relationship. Because whether or not I take morphine or don't take morphine is not going to be the thing that will stumble me in my relationship. You know? If it's stupid, like it is stupid, you know, I had to go cold turkey on it, then, you know, God says, "Well, see, I told you. You know, I paid for it." But that's okay. I have had more fun with God in the last 6 months than I've had, even though I've been in pain and all that, because I'm not yoked any longer to these things, to these religious boxes, to these expectations, to these stumblings, to these offenses. I mean, I sit there, and even in my own family, they get offended, you know, at the pastor, or they get offended at Michael, or they get offended. And of course, all these things, you know, they'll start going back and forth, and I'm not saying anything. And just not saying anything, after a few minutes, they realize, you know, all they're doing is, you know, drawing evil things into the Lord's temple. You're supposed to be edifying them, whether you like them or not. You edify them enough, you'll like them. Okay, who else has got anything to share? I was going to talk about, but I guess I'll save it for tomorrow, but I was going to talk about here we are coming up on Easter or Passover or both. And it's interesting that this time is the time of both deliverance, mm-hmm. but the wonderful thing about the Passover isn't just the Passover itself, is the fact that God took His people and started testing them right away, yeah. You know, and put them right up against the wall of the water, you know, mm. And if it wasn't for Moses, you know, bringing forth faith, and letting them see that, you know, they'd have been destroyed right there. Well, it wasn't over. They get across the thing. And now they're worried that, well, if we can get across, then the Egyptians are going to get across, and they're going to destroy us over here. It'd be better that we had never done this. Well, then God destroys their enemies. And so here you've got this wonderful, what I see is the way we mature, you know. We get forgiveness. We get the testing. We begin to mature. But at the same time, there's going to come that time at the mountain where we're going to have to decide whether we want to follow after the golden calf or be patient and wait on the Lord to bring us the word. David.
Hello. I just want to say, you know, listen to all that you've been talking about the last 2 days and living in the now. And, you know, we all tend to worry and stuff. And that's what my brother was just talking about, worrying. And what's gone on with me lately, the Lord's been revealing to me, is Philippians Corinthians 4:8, where when you get into these situations and all these troubles of the world start taking over, then you just start thinking about what's good and godly and lovely and of God and put that stuff forward.
There you go.
Instead of, you know, living in the fear or the hurt or whatever it is. And so if you continue to do that, make that a way of life, like the good Lord says, that as a man thinketh, so he shall be. So if you can get some encouragement with that, it helps me in my times.
I thought you were going to talk about that at work today, that little 16-year-old girl that didn't get failed her driver's license. God had you right there to be a comfort to her. Her mother wasn't there or anything, and you had a chance to speak to her.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. We won't have those things if we don't live in the now. I mean, sure, we'll have chances to witness and stuff, but I'm talking about those God encounters that were set up for somebody that's already been prepared. I love them, you know. Happens all the time when you're looking for it, doesn't it?
I'd like to, those of you who know Victor, was with us yesterday morning, and he got to meet DJ yesterday morning. And of course, these two guys, I happen to belong to the Y, and I met Victor there many years back, and even when we were still at David's house. And Victor was what you call a real broken young man, and I just happened to bring him a few words of comfort, and the next thing you know, he wants to know more. Well, he's gone on to other places, to things that God has called him to. And DJ, of course, now 2 years ago, belonged to a another church, but he got wounded and busted over there. And again, you know, only by God's grace did I give him a couple of words and, you know, encouraged him. And we ended up meeting by accident 5 or 6 times. And the next thing you know, he's been thrown out of the church. And now, of course, he's visited. And I told him, I said, you know, God has a way of picking anybody that has fallen off the vine, and, you know, you're not going to rot. Somebody will be there to pick you back up and hook you back in. And he gave us a teaching yesterday morning. Was it yesterday morning? I'm losing track.
No, day before.
Day before, I'm sorry. And it was so beautiful to hear this young man of 23 years old give an account. And then, of course, when he got to meet Victor, they really had not spoken to each other, because Victor comes to visit with us when we have a feast because he works at night. And it was so cute because yesterday they're walking out and they are talking about all these different ministries that they know, because they're both Spanish. And God did a marvelous work. And I could see the relationship blossoming, and it was totally by accident. Nothing prepared by man.
Everything prepared by God.
Everything by Him, exactly.
You know, when we get to that, there is that place where you get to in the spirit where you become spiritually minded. I mean, that's what he says. You got carnally minded, you got spiritually minded.
Yep.
So, if the propensity of your thought process is from the Spirit, because you fed yourself with the Spirit, you're constantly, you know, feeding that, refusing to dine on this world, so to speak, you begin to see the pattern of God. You begin to understand that His ways are not our ways, but you can see the pattern. And I love to ask God, okay, God, I see this. Let me in. Just for fun, let me in too. And it's funny, I mean, and you've probably heard it before, but you'd tell me to go down to a certain parking lot and pull in and wait, and there would be a station wagon come, and I'd know what to do then. So, you know, that would happen, and the things that were necessary. He'd tell me to go wait at a door, and there would be someone come by that was an alcoholic, and I've got a word for them. See, that to me, can you imagine if we all get to that point of where the mouthpiece of God is echoing through all of his elect? But it's edifying. It's edifying. It's edifying. You know, and you're not a soothsayer. You know, it's not just to wow them with information about their life. You know, I love my brethren and all that many of them are doing, but I just, you know, I don't think that in among the brethren, you know, coming in here and reading your mail, so to speak, does anything for us. That's a gift for the unsaved to see. That's something, you know, that's something that's kind of like, I think most of those gifts are really for the unsaved. But what do? We entertain ourselves in the church with these things.
I'd like to share what I've been going through, but I've got, because the Lord brought me through everything. I have a son and a daughter-in-law who are both on serious drugs together, and they did everything that drug users do. And the Lord just wanted me to love them and not judge them and be there for them the whole time. Thank God for prayers and good people. And anyway, they weren't really believers. I mean, my son kind of knew who Jesus was, but he obviously was not. He never accepted him in his heart. And his wife was a New Age believer, so there was a lot of spiritual activity going on. And the Lord just wanted me to love her no matter what. And they had a baby, and the baby was taken away from them, the first baby. And they had a second baby, and her mom took the first child. And the newborn was at the hospital, and she couldn't take the other one. And I was on my heart to take the baby, so I've had the baby for 8 months. But they are now in a program. And my son ended up in a faith-based program, which he was kicking all the way
through. Those tend to be the only ones that work anyway. Because I've been through so many, taking people through so many programs.
And him, I mean, he's actually got, where I would always have Christian music on, and he would turn it off, and we'd be like, I turn it on, he turns it off. You know, now he turns it on, and he puts up the volume. So, I give God praise that he's grown in that area. And even her, she's accepted the Lord, and she's coming around too. So.
All because of the love of Christ that you showed. An otherworldly love that doesn't make sense to them. Because they're all about, why would you do that? You know? You know, what advantage do you have? Why would you do? And that's what the world's got to see.
Yeah, I had many people try to tell me to go the other route, you know. Persecution was like everywhere around me, you know, do this, do that, but you're not doing the right thing. And I just kept focused on Jesus, and that's what brought it all together. Yeah.
Amen. Love is the one thing guaranteed never to fail.
Amen.
Cannot fail, cannot return void. Well, praise God. I'm empty. Anybody else got anything? Or do you, what's your plan?
Well, is there anyone else that has something that is sitting in their hearts or maybe a question?
I'll share this because it's pressing in my heart. I don't know what purpose God has got in it. It can get pretty difficult. A few months ago, my husband and I were alerted that out in his family's from Ohio, and when we got married, we stayed here. And they were very close-knit. But a few months ago, we were warned that one member of the family was sexually abusing females in the family. And this came to light quite suddenly and ruptured the whole family. There was two females that were sexually abused, not a third, that was attempted. Well, needless to say, the words are flying from every member of the family out here. And I refused to walk in where they were. I was just sending back as much godly things as I could and just let it stay there. Had differences. But strangely, there was one member of the family that refused to talk. And theirs was the daughter that was approached, but she was able to repel the attack. And she just contacted me a few days ago, and out of the blue. Nothing out of the blue with God. There has to be a reason why out of the blue. And explained to me that she was so angry with me for taking sides that she took me off of her Facebook, I don't want to talk to you again, blah, blah, the whole 9 yards. Yeah, really just mouthed off. Okay, that's all right. But I just sent her back a message, again, filled with love. You know, I understand how you feel. So what she was after was trying to get me to hate the individual. He's not there. Can't hate the individual. He's in a rough place. And I said that, sent her back the message, and I said, this is serious sin. I said, he is in a rough place. Well, I also unveiled something that, you know, at the time that I unveiled it, I questioned it, but now that I look over, the Lord was really doing work. I was sexually abused as a child. So I stuck that in there, and I said, I understand where all this is, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord did. And I explained to her the thing, what the Lord did, how he's done it, blah, blah, blah. And I just let it sit there. I didn't do any pressure, nothing. This is what the Lord did. And if that's the way you feel, and I just, and I said, Lord, if this thing comes back, it's fine. If it doesn't, I don't care. That's what I was supposed to say. 24 hours later, I get this warm, friendly, loving message. Wow. Total turnaround. Can I be your friend again on Facebook? I understand what's going on.
The mark of this relationship now.
But then the other crux of it, I mean, it's what God does. He's opening a door here that I'm not sure where it's going. She's a social activist. And she said, I'll warn you, my Facebook page is full of social activism. Tit for tat. I sent her back a message. I said, I warn you, my Facebook is full of I love Jesus and scripture. So we've agreed. But you know, that's the strange part. We've agreed to accept that. And I said that to her. I said, I accept who you are. And I think this is impacting her, that she's come off of her high and mighty anger and come down to a place where she's recognizing something that I don't understand, but I can see that. But you can see that the love that went out.
Right.
You know, and I didn't judge the person.
Right.
I didn't criticize the person, but she didn't get any of that. And I don't think she's understanding it, but I can see God's opening a door here of something that I don't even, I'm going to walk through it, but there was love that was manifested. And I believe when I sent that message back, that's what God sent into her heart because of this total reversal. So it is true. When
yep.
you're manifesting love and you just send that love back out, God does something with it. And there was a horrendous, horrendous fear that I had to walk in. If I unveil this, I'm going to get persecuted, like with pizza. I'm going to get persecuted. And suddenly I thought, so?
Could.
So?
Crucified.
That's their problem.
Crucified
not mine.
With Christ.
Yeah. That's their problem.
You're beyond it.
Not, yeah, that's not my
You're
problem.
Beyond it now.
They got an issue with it. You take it to God. It's not mine.
That whole atmosphere that you just described is the that is the foundation that we've, I mean, you can't get it all at one time, but you got to go where you can go and let it grow from there. And that's one thing that we can do. We can all return love for evil. And it's interesting, the more we do that, the more we're set free from evil or the evil influences that prevail, that try to prevail against us. It's like I can't think of any reason to be offended at anybody.
She was greatly offended. That was her problem. She said she cried for days. No?
Usually in my experience, when someone has got that kind of response, it's because there's hidden agendas on the interior that have not yet been exposed or maybe afraid to expose. But because of your compassion and your openness, she now has received a ray of hope that if down the road she decides to trust, she may be able to open up to you because she's been able to find someone who's going to love without condition. And that's great, because you've also stepped on the fears of rejection, the fears of betrayal, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just going to boost you up a little higher. Because God knows what you've done. Amen?
Amen. By the way, I have two books left.
Yep.
And three of the series that I teach my book.
You have three of the series?
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost on the series?
That's a 16-CD series. We take a donation of any sort, though we ask for $100 for it. Because it, as a matter of fact, if you're going to study the book, it's great, because there's a whole lot more information on the CD than is in the book. I mean, it just couldn't put it all in there. So we were talking about that, David and I, that it would be better to listen to the CD over the chapter that you're going to read, and then read it, you'll have a much greater understanding.
It'll go, well, in my experience, the book I've had for years, and again, last year, the Holy Spirit pressed, and I got a lot deeper, because it's like four or five times now, so four or five times it goes, I don't know, I guess the nut is a little tough to crack, so God knows how to do that.
I told the story that I got, and this is not uncommon, never has been uncommon for all the years. But I got a call from somebody in, from a missionary in the coast of France, who was led to the website.
Cool.
Because what's interesting is that you can't even, unless you've got a sticker in the book, none of that information is correct. You can't get up with me through the regular book. So God took him, and he got on the phone and from France, and he said, "Brother, if my wife and I could walk on water, we'd come over and hug you." Because this is what God has been saying to us, and we didn't know anybody else.
Cool.
So, Mike?
Good arrangements. Yes.
You've been walking this a long time, too.
Few weeks, I think.
Yeah. Has tonight resonated?
Oh, yeah. A lot of things are what you've been saying. And a lot of things are like, kind of new. You spoke some real, you know, personal things that, you know, what you've personally encountered in this time, you know, with the Lord and what he's been doing with you. Yeah, I believe a lot of that is just, it's a freshening.
I'm glad to hear you
word.
Say that, because I know you've heard
word.
This for
no, it's fresh. It's never
10 years.
You know, yeah, I don't think it ever gets repetitious, because the Lord is always, if your heart is open to Him,
you hear something fresh.
Yeah, you'll hear a fresh word and something that's current, something right. That needs to be applied. fresh, you know, to me, and to, I'm sure to others who are hearing what you're saying. And it's really, yeah, it is a lot about letting go of things, things that we've kind of held on to, and whatever, it's been some mindsets or religious things that have just found their way into our lives. And God is really in a place now of really extracting all these things that are interferences, you know, with our walk with Him. And as these things continue to, you know, as we stay open to Him and to the Spirit of the Lord, yeah, I believe these things are going to be less and less within us, and there's more of His life, you know, really shining out and affecting the lives of others. And I believe He's also doing, I'm hearing some of the testimonies, I really believe He's really opening some doors at this time too, for what He's been preparing us for and the lives that He's bringing into our paths. Each one of these experiences or encounters that we're having, the Lord is really divinely arranging all these things and to see how we're going to affect the lives of other people, how we can truly affect it with His life being manifested in and through us, and how that's going to really impact the world. It's going to do it one at a time. It's not going to be a multitude. It's going to be each one of us is going to have an encounter somehow, we're going to have to show, you know, the life manifesting of Christ in and through us. It's what He's been trying to what He's been teaching us over these years. And it's, I think it's time.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that we're at this time. It's a timeline of God, and we're in that timeline of God right now.
Right.
And it's continually, you know.
Well, I like you've seen me say this, but if God has this point in time that He's predetermined that there will be a manifestation.
Yeah.
And we're traveling down the timeline, and the people themselves in their maturity are coming slow but not that fast. The closer they get to that date, the more there has to be an upward draft.
Yes.
Has to be grace of some sort pushing us beyond our ability to obtain so that God is vindicated. And so I love the fact that, you know, hey, God, you got to force it. And you got to make me ready, because I obviously can't do it all myself. I miss the conferences, though.
Those were wonderful.
I haven't seen the like of which since.
But you know what He's done? He's kept so many of us still in touch with each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what God really, you know, established back then, He still keeps those like-minded ones.
Seeds are growing.
In touch. You know, there's still a real, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying to you, is that this thing of being connected in Christ in this hour no longer takes effort on our part. Doesn't take maintenance. Mm-hmm. I mean, a relationship, quote unquote, a friendship or even love, as we have with our wife, takes maintenance, takes time, takes effort. But God's connection, where we're connected, Christ to Christ, it grows regardless of how long it is. I mean, I haven't seen Mike for quite a while, and hadn't seen David for quite a while, but that it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like we're it's like we were nurturing it the whole time, and it's growing. And I think that's the other way that this thing takes off, because I believe there's coming that my connection, for example, with David, my relationship will go beyond just our relationship, that there'll come a level of God's love that you would intimately trust and connect with anybody at all that I've already connected with, just because this is a spiritual pathway and it doesn't need to be vindicated by natural circumstances. It just needs to be an act of faith. And I think that's one of the ways that the elect's going to knit together, is that it's going to be without our effort, but completely, you know, an act of God's love. And I sense that already.
Yeah, you can see that on the internet on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of people there that, like, we don't know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. None of them. Very few of those are from
the... Everybody is just knitted together in love and His love. And the prayer that we share with each other and just sharing life through the Spirit. It's just wonderful, really.
So, by the way, that if you're wanting to be a part of the discussions, we do basically the same thing as this on the internet. On Tuesday and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock at thirddayvoice.com. If you can remember, it's all spelled out. thirddayvoice.com. Actually, you can search me on Google
and find the man.
It used to be that, and it may still be on there, that when after I had just first written the book and some religious entities had got a chance to read it, all of a sudden it was Van Tanner of Satan.
Oh.
Stay away from this man. He will ruin your life. Because he doesn't believe in the rapture.
Well, you have ruined some people's lives, in case you don't know it. But in my experience, you weren't the first. So all I could say is you just added a little bit of more frosting on the cake.
What time do we start tomorrow?
11. Okay. And 7 tomorrow night. But I would like, if you don't mind, just to extend your hands to our brother. Father, we just ask that you would strengthen him, give him rest for this night, overwhelm him with grace, and give him the word for tomorrow, whatever it is that he has need to deposit here. We believe that you will do this in Jesus' name. Also, I would like you to just put your hands up in the air, because he is the one we're serving.
Yes. Amen.
So, Father, we believe that you have already given us many different words tonight from different individuals, all for which we believe that you are in control. You have not left us. You are, in fact, increasing within us. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts if we're to give a gift tonight. Lord, let it be for your glory. We thank you and we honor you as Lord and King, and we thank you for what you're doing in this wonderful time, where we connect and reconnect with you first,
yes,
but then with each other, to make it a happy and a greater time on this great and good Friday, in Jesus' name. Share some hugs with each other. I put a little plate there. If you decide to make a check, just make it out to the house of prayer, and we will make sure that this man gets blessed. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think it's been sort of a miracle since I've